Well, none of us get out of this life alive, but one of the things we're certainly hoping to do is to make the journey as healthy as possible, have the life as long as possible, have the end of life be as stress-free as possible. It's not always possible, but you certainly have to work your way through it. And there is a big seminar happening a week from tomorrow. It's going to be tomorrow. I make that a week from tomorrow. It's going to be Saturday, June 24th, 9 to 2 at the Smullen Center. And this is called Health and Wellness from Start to Finish. Joining me in studio is Dr. Robin Miller. How you doing, Doctor?
I'm great.
It's great to have you back.
Thank you.
You're skinny. We hate you. I always say that to her when she is skinny
Come
and healthy.
Come to the seminar and find out how to stay this way.
Okay. All right. You got it. And then we have Katie Ortlip. Now, Katie, I'm not familiar with you. This is the first time we've met here recently. Mm-hmm. And you have put out a book that I guess you'll also be talking about in this seminar, right? What's the title of it?
The book is called Living with Dying. And it's a complete guide for caregivers, and I wrote it with my friend Yana Beecham.
Okay, very good. And what got you interested in the subject? Was it part of your social work before?
Well, I've been a social worker at Asante Hospice for almost 25 years.
All right, so you know all about this.
And Yana and I decided about 5 years ago that this book was sorely needed. I took care of her dad when he was dying, and she would grill me, you know, for questions. She had questions. She wanted information, and what we decided was that there was no book out there. This is a handbook. It's very easy to read. It's a guidebook for caring for someone who is dying. And there are a lot of books out there, as you know, about death and dying.
Sure.
But there's nothing like this that's very practical with bullet points and little boxes.
Did that just come out?
It just came out.
Okay. Very interesting.
And, yes.
We lived this. We lived this twice. But both my in-laws, we cared for our in-laws for several years at home. And it was an amazing journey. It was at times an amazing burden. I mean, we have to be honest, but we were able to do this out of love and care and concern. And I feel blessed that we were able to pull that off. Not everyone's able to, to keep someone in their home. But that's how Linda and I certainly managed. Now, is this mostly for people who are caring for folks in their own home, or is it
different way? Yes, it is, but we do care for people, you know, as you know, die in assisted living. They die in facilities. Anyone can use this book. Anyone that's a caregiver.
What are sort of the kind of some of the bullet points? You know, someone says, "Okay, all right, you have this book about, you know, caring for the dying. I mean, what is this all about? Is it just mechanical, or break it down for us if you don't mind?"
Basically everything, and that's why I feel very passionate about this book. It starts with getting your affairs in order, having an advance directive, which is a must, because you put down your wishes, to the emotional, spiritual journey, to practical caregiving. You know, how do you change someone in bed? How do you feed someone? How do you take care of their pain and their symptoms?
Yeah.
What does a body look like when it's dying?
How do you change someone? Even just that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's one thing. I knew how to do it with my 6-month-old son.
It's not the same. And we have illustrations.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and the other part you never think about is you're caring for a loved one who is dying is just some of the changes that happen that are very different. It's like, I've just used the diaper as an example. Changing a diaper on a 90-year-old is very different than changing a diaper on a 6-month-old, because the skin is so thin on many elderly people or your loved ones as you're going through that. And you have to find all sorts of workarounds. Right,
and also protecting their dignity, because it's very hard to have someone care for you in that way. So there are ways to help them feel less worried about it, less worried about their caregivers.
Embarrassed.
Yes,
embarrassed. Yeah, exactly. Trying to keep the dignity is really a tough part. So are you the latter part then of the event next week?
Or I guess so.
Okay, so we start with life, healthy, wellness, keep it going, drink your coffee and do your diet. So break it down. So this is going to be a 4-hour seminar then?
Yes.
Okay. So how much does it cost to attend?
$15.
That's pretty cheap these days for a 4-hour seminar.
Yes. And we're going to have great food, by the way.
Okay.
Healthy food.
All right. Is it healthy food with taste, though?
Yes.
Or is it more cardboard?
No. Healthy, tasty food. And people are going to get 2 free passes to the Evergreen Ballroom for a lesson in West Coast Swing.
That's your other passion, isn't it?
That's right. We're going to talk about why people should be dancing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And title of your book that we had you on here for a couple of months ago?
It's Healed Health and Wellness for the 21st Century.
So you'll be talking about a lot of that, too,
as
part of this. So is it just the two of you kind of going through the aspects of your books? Or just?
No, we have a bunch of really good people.
Okay.
So it's going to be...
Well, wait a minute. You two are really good.
It's going to be even better.
Okay.
We have so many cool people coming. So it's going to be me, mm-hmm. my co-author, Dave Kahn, who's going to talk about how to lose weight without dieting.
And he's the swing master, right?
He's the swing master. And we're going to talk together about why people should be dancing.
Okay.
And then we have an amazing dietitian, Julie Kokonakis, who is amazing. She's going to be talking about the Mediterranean-style diet and the Blue Zone diet. Mm-hmm. You know what the Blue Zone is, right?
No, I don't know about that one.
The Blue Zone are all these places where people live to be 100 because of what they eat and other factors as well.
Yeah, is it because of really what they don't eat?
Yes.
Yeah.
No donuts there.
Yeah. Something tells me, yeah, no donuts, probably a minimal of fried food. And I would imagine more of a plant-based diet.
Not just minimal fried food. No fried food.
No fried food. Okay. In other words, all the stuff that makes life worth living for the rest of us here. But yes. I digress here.
And then Angie Meeker, who's the compounding pharmacist and owner of Wellness Compounding, is going to talk about hormones.
Compounding. Wait, could you tell me a little bit? I interviewed someone years ago about compounding. And I kind of forgot, I think, most of the details. What is a compound pharmacist?
Well, she's a doctor of pharmacy.
Doctor of pharmacy,
and
okay.
And she knows how to personalize medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, there are certain medicines that people can't take in the normal dose. They need lower doses. She can do that. We come up with all kinds of cool things like Scream Cream that we talked about last time.
Scream Queen?
Scream Cream.
Scream Cream.
Yes.
What is Scream Cream
it's
again?
It's Viagra for women.
Oh, okay.
It's a cream, and it works.
That kind of screaming. I'm
yes.
thinking of, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis in the movies or something like that.
So she makes that for us and our patients.
Okay.
Hormones, bioidentical hormones. She's going to be talking about that and how you personalize those.
So are you in big favor then of taking a more natural bioidentical rather than big pharma kind of approach?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
Well,
but big pharma does make bioidentical hormones.
They do.
They do.
All right.
And those are fine too.
Yeah. Let me switch back to the death and dying portion mm-hmm. of our program here. Mm-hmm. And, I just noticed that, the state of Oregon ended up changing some of the rules on the advance directive. Are you familiar with that? The advance directive, mm-hmm. they passed a law about this. And I know that the Right to Life people were rather upset about this because they were looking at this as making it easier to starve people.
Oh, I see. The dementia clause.
Yeah, the dementia clause and such. Are you familiar with
that? Yes, I just read that.
Okay, so you did keep track mm-hmm. of that. I figured mm-hmm. you would if you're over at Asante, so mm-hmm. you know, doing something like that. And some lawmakers were really taking a lot of incoming for voting for this change. Mm-hmm. Others are saying, hey, this is perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. Does Asante have a position, or is there any way? I mean, was it just giving more control to the patient? And it mm-hmm. all started when this man in Ashland wanted to get remarried and didn't want to keep feeding his wife, from what I understand.
Yeah,
it's a tough question.
Understand is his wife had she may still be alive, I don't know, she had advanced dementia.
Right.
And she wasn't able to feed herself. But it was very advanced. She couldn't recognize anyone anymore. On her advanced directive, which she had done when she was well, she wrote she didn't want tube feedings, she didn't want to be put on life support, but... In those situations, people are either close to death or they're in a vegetative state. And this woman was not close to death, but she had advanced dementia. And she wasn't able to feed herself, so the people where she was staying at the facility were feeding her.
So they were looking at this is the law, and the advanced directive did mm-hmm. not really take into account dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So does this just mean that the form is going to be changed from this point in the future?
It just added that clause. So when we fill out our advanced directives, we can add that part that if I'm talking for myself now, mm-hmm. if I have advanced dementia and I don't no longer recognize my family, I have a poor quality of life in that I can't interact with people. I'm basically just mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
And I can't feed myself.
Should someone then assist
yes,
me in feeding?
I would document now that I do not want, and this is my choice,
okay.
I do not want someone to feed me. They can give me comfort measures. They can give me little bits of food for comfort. But sometimes people with dementia, when you feed them, they just open their mouths and eat.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily feeling hunger. So I think it's important that we while we're well now and can make decisions, talk to our loved ones, document it.
Okay.
Someone else might not feel that way. Someone else might want to be fed until they absolutely can't eat, and that's fine.
But yeah,
It just gives us option.
I know that there is another part of the change here, and you, Dr. Miller, as a medical doctor, I think might be able to weigh in on this. I think they also relaxed who could witness these changes, and I think before it had to be a medical doctor, and I think that's been somewhat relaxed. Is that a good or a bad thing in your view, being an MD?
A good thing for other people to be able to be the witness.
Yeah, to be the witness for that, because there's I guess that point, you know. You're still the boss usually in most medical situations, you know, the doctor,
yes.
the someone's physician.
I think it's fine, actually,
you know,
especially if it's a family member you trust. Obviously, you know, if it's someone who wants you to die fast, that would not be a good thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, too.
Most people have pretty good judgment about who they trust.
All right,
their family.
Well, if you're going to have an advance directive, make sure you do it early, I guess.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now.
It's never too early.
Okay, very good.
I think my husband and I did it, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't want to get off too much on that because it was all in the news recently.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, and so just thought I'd ask people, and you've been involved in hospice and so much more, and you see that it would certainly affect what you folks have been doing here. So you have all of these people that are showing up. Let's just get back and hit the high points once again to this big seminar. And of course, I just lost my place. Here we go. There it is. It's the health and wellness from start to finish. Going to be a week from tomorrow, 9 to 2 at Smolin Center. So this is going to be one of those things. You want to be there. There's food. There's fun. There's talking about staying healthy. Why don't you hit some of the points from your book that you had in here last time on some of the best ways, things that you'll be covering on keeping people healthy throughout their life.
Let me say first, I forgot one other person who's going to be there.
Okay, who's that?
Louise Laverne, who's a yoga expert.
Okay.
She's going to get everyone calm and in zen mode before the conference starts.
All right.
It's going to be great.
So if I have a caffeine high and I show up there, it's not going to be a big deal.
It won't be a big deal.
Okay, I'll calm down.
So the high points for my book that we're going to cover are, I'm going to talk about some new risk factors for heart disease. Heart disease is the number one killer of men and women. And there's a risk factor called TMAO, trimethylamine oxide.
What's that?
So it's when you take in red meat, egg yolks, farm-raised fish, the gut bacteria turn it into TMAO, which is a risk factor for heart disease and stroke, probably better than cholesterol.
How do you know if you have that risk factor?
You can have a blood test done fasting. If you have a level of TMAO greater than 6.2, you're at risk.
Okay. Is it an inflammatory risk? Is that what it does?
Yeah, in your arteries.
Okay.
So here's the thing. If you don't want to cut all that stuff out.
And I wouldn't.
I know. So I'm telling you, you can use extra virgin olive oil. That will help.
Okay.
Grapeseed extract will help. And you're going to like this. Guinness Stout.
Guinness Stout?
Don't ask me why.
What?
I don't know why.
We don't know why Guinness Stout tends to...
To help decrease TMAO, but it does.
Is it a bit of an antioxidant addition?
They'd love to do a study on it, but they can't. Regulate how much Guinness Stout and how much stuff is in the Guinness Stout to actually test it.
Okay. Dr. Robin Miller and Katie Ortlip in studio this morning. Happy to take your calls. This is, a pretty interesting event going on a week from Saturday. So what is it about these? It's gut bacteria?
Yes. Gut bacteria is amazing.
Okay. Let me ask you, can you change the gut bacteria to reduce this risk factor?
Yes. You do that by staying away from red meat, avoiding egg yolks, and avoiding farm-raised fish.
Oh, okay. So I guess what I was misinterpreting then is that the gut bacteria is actually introduced from these substances.
No.
No?
They work on it.
They work on it.
Yes. It's the byproduct of what the gut bacteria do in metabolizing this type of food.
So if I want my big, fat, juicy steak... Occasionally.
Yes.
And given the price of steak, it doesn't happen very often anyway. So that way you pair it up with a Guinness Stout and at least throttles back on some of that TMAO.
Yes. And marinate it in extra virgin olive oil.
Okay.
What do you think?
I can go with that. Okay. Hey, where are you on coffee again? I ended up talking with Dr. Bob Arnott yesterday.
Oh, you did?
For a little bit. And he was an interesting cat. And of course, big author. So he ends up spending 2 or 3 years traveling and searching out coffee all over the world. And then he writes it off on his income tax and writes a book about it.
Oh,
it's a great deal. Yeah.
So he likes coffee, too.
Yeah, he does. And you know, he wrote a book about you know, coffee diets and things. What are your favorite kinds of coffees? What are your rules for getting coffee? Because I know you're a fan of it too.
I love coffee. Drip coffee is good. The kind that goes in the French press is not as good in terms of your cholesterol because it holds in all the fats.
French press, you said?
Yes. French okay. press coffee. You can have it occasionally, but that's the one you probably want to stay away from.
Really?
So you want coffee to be going through a filter.
Through a filter.
Yes. But I love all kinds of coffee.
All right.
Coffee is good for your brain. It helps prevent Parkinson's disease. It helps prevent liver disease. There are a lot of pluses about coffee.
Now, see, here we go, folks. Drink your Joe, because two doctors I've interviewed this week on the show have said drink coffee.
The okay. other thing is, you know, ringing in the ears is a big problem. And in women, it prevents ringing in the ears.
Ringing in the ears.
Yeah. It won't treat it, but it'll help keep you from getting it.
So is that tinnitus then? Is
yes.
it, that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What is tinnitus? I know it's the ringing, but what actually causes the ringing? What stimulates that?
Well, sometimes it's other things. Like you can have a brain tumor doing it, but or ear tumor.
Yeah,
but
so mostly, that's rough. Yeah.
Mostly, we don't know. And, you know, one of the risk factors is having a lot of sound. You know, loud sounds early in life will affect your hearing and can increase your risk for tinnitus.
Is there any research that talks about perhaps, you know, sound, a loud sound exposures, let's say machinery, gunfire, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm wondering, does it damage the, what do they call that inside your cochlea? The cilia, I think is what it is, that respond to the various frequencies?
I'm not sure, because I'm not an ENT person, but it definitely damages stuff in your ear.
Okay. We'll just,
no question.
We'll just take it.
I can't be specific about it.
To the bank about that. I just remember when I was in like school biology, there was something like that. There's little cilia inside, and each one, these cilia correspond to certain frequencies. And then when you lose that cilia, then you lose that frequency. You know, they'd be able to.
You're probably right.
Yeah. But of course, that was in the 1970s, so who knows?
Even I think the cilia are still important, still probably do the same
still
thing.
There.
Done something
still
differently at that point. Hey, Don's in Medford. Hello, Don. How are you doing this morning? You have a question for the two here?
Well, a couple of them. Does Medicare and TRICARE for Life offset any of the payments that would be necessary for these treatments and so forth?
Oh, for some of the treatments that that the doctor has been talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Which ones in specific were you thinking about, Don?
Well, first of all, I'd like to start off with the physical, and then this compounding has interested me because I've used it on animals before with success.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to know about that.
So are you speaking about Dr. Miller's practice here?
Yeah, that and even going to the pharmacist that they mentioned, you know, doing the compound.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Miller, is there any way you can maybe clarify a little bit of that? If you even know? I don't know.
Sometimes insurance will cover some of the compounded medicines. It depends on the medicine and the insurance. TRICARE is a pretty good insurance company. But I'm not positive if it would cover compounded medicines.
Okay.
All right.
I just have to go in and start, I guess.
Well, you can call the compounding pharmacy. They'll tell you. They know.
Okay. All right. Well,
and they will
you.
Bill insurances.
Okay.
Thanks, Don. We appreciate the call there. So remember, mark the calendar. It's a week from tomorrow, 9 to 2, Small and Center. And you're going to have about a half dozen or so presentations and all sorts of people about the health. It's the health and wellness from start to finish. New risk factors for heart disease, ways to reverse Alzheimer's, treating depression, taking care of loved ones, you know, as they die, making sure that we do it with as much comfort and dignity as possible. There's just so much more, and it's for $15.
Exactly, and they can find out information at wellhealed.net.
Wellhealed.net.
The whole thing is there. The who's there, the schedule, when it's going to be, where it's going to be, everything is there.
Dr. Robin Miller, Katie Ortlip, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been great.
I hope you have some great people showing up next week and staying healthy and helping us stay healthy to the end.